Recording in progress.
Good morning. We are learning the Sefer Zera Kodesh for Parshas of Vayechi. So, I'd like to do a couple of Shtiklach Torah here from the Rav Shitzer. We'll start with a very short piece that he has on the Pasuk. He asfu va'agida lachem. Yaakov says to his sons, gather, and I will tell you. Esasher yikra eschem ba'achris hayamim, what will occur to you, with you, in the end of days. Pirush Rashi says, nistalka mimenu shechina, that Yaakov's intention was to lay out for his children, to reveal to them things that maybe shouldn't be so revealed. And the Shekhinah removed itself from him, and that information was taken away. Nira, on page Kuf, Hey Asfu, V'yegid Alachem. It's right before Yikav.
Thank you.
Nira, so I want to suggest like this. Sheba'emes, the actuality is, B'dvarim ha'elu sha'amar Yaakov lahem, that what Yaakov does end up telling his sons, Murumazim kol ha'dvarim she'iru l'chol shevet v'shevet. That actually, if you would read Yaakov's brachos properly, you would see that in it, he alludes to everything that would happen to each one of the Shvatim. Some of it we know, Rashi explains in detail how the story of Shimshon is described in the Bracha of Dan, but that's a very specific and an exceptional event for the tribe of Dan. But what he's suggesting here is that everything that has ever happened to a tribe as a tribe, not necessarily each individual as a tribe, but each of the Shvatim, whatever happened to that Shevet is actually alluded to in the bracha that Yaakov gives them. Me'az, whatever happened to that Shevet from that time, ve'ad es yavo Mashiach tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu, until the days of Mashiach b'mehera b'yameinu.
Until or
including? Well, he says until. And I would assume it's because of the pasuk ad ki yavo Shiloh. You know, Yaakov seems to be talking about till the coming of Mashiach. But he doesn't spell that out. So then, if that's true, then what was hidden from Yaakov? Mm-hmm. The answer is, actually, Mikodem, previously, Hayorotza Lomer Lahem Benigla, he wanted to say it openly. But now that the Shekhinah went away from him, Amar Lahem Benistar, he could only say it in a hidden way. Valderech, in similar way, as it's described in Sefer Daniel, Sosoma Devarim Chasoma Sefer, that Daniel was meant to conceal the matter and to seal the Sefer, which if you know a little bit about this, you know that in Sefer Daniel, it tells us exactly when Mashiach is coming. But you have to know how to read Sefer Daniel. Mm-hmm. And that's why, as the Gemara in Masechtas Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph tells us, that when Yonasan ben Uziel wanted to write a Targum on Ksuvim, they stopped him from heaven, because had he written a Targum, that would have revealed information that's not meant to be revealed, which would have been channeled down through him, and we would know when Mashiach is coming. And so, because of that, Daniel was told to hide it. And there's other pshatim in that, famously Rav Schwab, if those of you have seen his essay, if not, look it up, where he writes about that that it's not even the year 5785, but that it's actually a different year, but that there's a whole process. We can't go into it. But the idea that the Zmanim of the Geula, the days of Mashiach is coming, is meant to be hidden and concealed, that's what Hashem is basically saying to Yaakov Avinu. And not that there can't be a Kates out there, but that it can't be revealed. V'zesha Amru, and that's why the language of Chazal is Bikesh Legalos es HaKates. Legalos, Daika, says the Rapture, specifically the word Legalos, to reveal, not to bring it out, to find it, to extrapolate it. That perhaps could be done and could still be done. But what can't be done is that it should be openly revealed. But why not? Why not? Why can't we know? How come we knew we were told 70 years in Bavel? We were told 400 years in Mitzrayim. Okay, so the numbers are confusing, but we're given some kind of number. So he says, "Be'emes ha'yizeh chesed me'elukei chesed." This is a kindness from the God of kindness. She'yistom ha'davarim, that the date of Mashiach coming should be hidden. Ki'im ha'yemigala richus ha'galus kol kach, because if Hashem would have revealed to the Jewish people that this exile is going to be this long, if Yaakov would have revealed to his sons the tzaris that Klal Yisrael would have to go through, it would have been so difficult for the Shvatim to accept, and they would have been exceptionally hurt. They would have been in pain over everything that their grandchildren have to go through. And all the generations would be in pain. Now, the way I'm understanding this, I'm sure someone else could read it differently. The way I'm understanding it, it doesn't mean that we would all have a date. It would mean like Mitzrayim. There would be like a Pakod Yivkot. There would be the leaders of the generation would pass on to the next leaders a date. But we would go to the leaders where we'd say, it's time yet. And they would say, no. And we would ask them, how long? And they would say, not in your lifetime. Not for a while. You can't go on like this. But now, kishlo nigla az, it wasn't revealed. Hayimechakim adorus b'chal yom v'yom sheyavo. The generations wait, in every generation he could come. Now, it's a very interesting pshat. If you're hearing it, right? It sounds like everyone's thinking about this. Right? What we're saying is that Hashem says it's going to be almost 2,000 years. If you reveal this to them, I'm going to lose them. Scary thought that it's going to be this long, and it's so long that if we would know, we would be in trouble. That's how long it is. But that's what we need. Klal Yisrael has to go through almost 2,000 years of exile. Mashiach come today, it'll be over. But we had to go through all of that, and if we had known, so basically what he's saying is that it was hidden so that we would stand a chance of surviving it. That's why we wait. Even if he delays, because it could be today. Hayom and bekolos ishmahu. He'll come. But if we had known we would wait this long, the Jewish people would be in too much danger. Yes.
Do you think that that's why the Rambam wrote the anima means, especially the one hayom
sheyavo? Yeah, yeah. The Rambam's. Really, the creation of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, a big portion of that, he was young when he wrote that, but a big portion of that was him recognizing that in his generation, the concept of Mashiach, there were false Mashiachs, and I would refer to Igeres Taman for the Rambam's letter to Yemen as the primary source for where he deals. And he goes through in very, very specific detail, you know, what is Mashiach, what isn't Mashiach, and what we are to expect. And of course, the Rambam's Shittas are the Rambam's Shittas, and the other Rishonim disagree, but we generally follow the approach of the Rambam. But yeah, the Rambam, who has to explain very clearly what is and what isn't, is because there were too many people who had these false impressions and they had incorrect assumptions, and it was causing terrible things to happen specifically in this area. False messiahs would come and give the Jewish people false hope, and that would cause depression amongst the Jewish people. It could happen to the Shabbat Tzvi. So yeah, the Rambam did, in a sense, step in and do a lot for us to protect us, specifically in that area. Okay, so that's Torah number one here, is that the reason why this information is hidden from Yaakov Avinu is not because Hashem doesn't want us to know so that we shouldn't know, but more because if we knew, we would have a hard time. And so sometimes we learn from here that sometimes a person is better not knowing, just in general when it comes to these kinds of things. Okay. Reuven B'chori Ata. I want to share this with everyone. It's a little complicated Torah. It's a little complicated. But I want to share this because such a part of the Heilige Chassidische Torah that when you see a portion of the parashas like Reuven, Yaakov's telling off his son, to read, what are you reading negative for? Hashem doesn't want you to see anything negative. This is Reuven, one of the greatest human beings that ever lived. Why are we darshaning l'gnai? Right. So it's interesting to see the way that the holy rabbis, the way they approach these psukim. So Reuven b'choriata, Reuven, you are my firstborn son. Kochi, my strength, voracious oni, and the first of my effort and my strength. Yeser se'es, you could have been better in being uplifted amongst your brothers. Yeser oz, and you could have had the greater power, the greater strength, right? The one that means kahuna, malchus, whatever. Chazal tell us, shufrei de Yaakov, mi'ein shufrei de Adam Arishon. That the image of Yaakov, specifically, the beauty of Yaakov, is mi'ein shufrei de Adam Arishon, is the beauty of Adam Arishon. What this means is very simply. Adam Arishon was the most perfect human being that there ever was, because he was made directly by Hashem without human intervention, which is how all future human beings would be made. I mean, Adam and Chav. So Adam was created in divine proportions. He was mamish, mamish perfect. But when he sinned, which is what all of us do, when we sin, we blemish our tzura, our tzelem elukim, our panim, and so we no longer look perfect. But Yaakov Avinu was like Adam Rishon before the sin, and so because of that, it's his face that's the face on the heavenly throne, not also because he's Yaakov, but because he's the human being who attained such perfection that his face became the perfect face again. That's why it's Yaakov's image on the heavenly throne. And that, according to one Midrash, is what the Malachim, they went up the ladder, they see Yaakov's face, they go down the ladder, they see Yaakov's face. Ki yadua, we know, she Yaakov ha-yatikuna, because Yaakov is the fixing of Adam Rishon. Avram starts the process, Yitzchak continues the process, but Yaakov completes the process. Yaakov, in a sense, has this role to complete the process of Adam Arishon, and let's call it Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Says the Holy Zera Kaddish, V'hayurai, and what should have been, is Shebechor Yaakov, the firstborn son of Yaakov, Yisakin Chet Kayin, his job, Reuven's job, was to fix the sin of Kayin, Beno de Adam Kadma, the son of Adam Arishon. So, the Rav Shitzur says this a few times in his Sefer, and it's very interesting to see how much the Rav Shitzur deals with Reuven. But specifically, he's saying Reuven's job is connected to the role of Kayin earlier in the Torah. V'sham Namar, this is why over there it says, Vayosha Hashem El Hevel, Vayosha is spelled Vav Yud Shin Ayin, right? Hashem turned to and responded to Hevel's offering. V'el Kayin, and to Kayin he didn't. V'zesh amalo Yaakov, so Yaakov tells him, Kei m'sha'ata b'chori, you were my firstborn. Ha'yirah, you should have had, yeser se'es, v'yeser az, you should have had the greater uplift. I mean, let's go with Rashi's chat. Rashi says, yeser se'es is kahuna, and yeser az is malchus. Se'es means uplifted, like spiritually elevated, and az means like might and power, so that would be politically elevated. So se'es and az is kahuna and malchus. But Reuven was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol and the Melech. It's interesting because we were so heavy on the Chashmonaim that they took both. But Reuven, someone could have had both. So he's saying, yeser se'es v'yeser az, those four words start with a yud, shin, vav, ayin. It spells the word vayosha. Remezlo, Yaakov was saying, in this world, you had the opportunity to fix Kayin. Shoyroi sheyisakin chet Kayin. Rak machmas shelo tikein ze, but you didn't fix Kayin. Nechshav l'Reuven k'tzas l'chait, so therefore that's considered a little bit of a sin on Reuven. Reuven did nothing wrong himself, says the Heilige Zera Kodesh. Reuven never did a sin in his life. But Reuven had another job, and that was to continue what Yaakov introduced, which is the fixing of Adam. Reuven could have carried that on and fixed Kayin, and he didn't. V'chein amru chazal, that's why our sages say, kala ome Reuven chata, anyone who says Reuven actually sinned, ein elato, is making a mistake. Meaning that whatever you read into the story, let me come from a different angle. Switching beds, which is what Reuven did, is moving furniture. It's moving furniture. It's not the end of the world. It's what it represented and what it caused in that time, in that moment, right? It's not the act, but what came about through it. And so, in a sin, talk about a sin, he moved the bed. So he's learning that Chazal understood that that's not really the issue. Reuven was supposed to do something. He was supposed to somehow be bigger than everything. And he failed in that, and he was just Reuven. And so therefore, Yaakov says to him, in order for you to be the Kohen and the Melech, it couldn't just be you. You needed to be you plus to finish whatever I was starting. And whoever does complete that process, you know, would be Levi or Yehuda, so then they get... But not because Reuven actually did anything wrong. He just didn't take on that extra role of continuing Yaakov's fixing by moving and fixing Kayan. L'chein ama Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. That's why Moshe says, Yechi Reuven v'al yamos. Reuven should live and he should not die. It's because Reuven didn't actually fail in his role as himself. He only failed in his role of... That's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu should say that, because as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one to fix Kayan, even though Moshe Rabbeinu is technically Hevel. I'm going to get into Gilgulim, but Moshe Rabbeinu has three interactions with three individuals, the Egyptian, his father-in-law Yisro, and Korach, all of whom carried the soul of Kayan. We don't have time to go into the whole Torah behind that. So he kills the Egyptian, fixes one part, takes Yisro's daughter, fixes another part, and Korach is its own section with Tzadik HaTamar Yifrach, you know, being Korach's name. But we're not going into all that. What we're saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu has to sort of complete this role that Reuven should have had. Yes.
What should Reuven have done to fix
Kayan? See, he doesn't really get into that, but it sounds like had Reuven overcome the whatever that challenge was, let's call it with the moving of the beds, if he somehow would have contained himself in some sense, that would have been an additional fixing beyond his own. In other words, let's say like this. Reuven, had there been no Kayan, then Reuven maybe even would have been honored for defending his mother. But specifically, because he had an additional role to play as Kayan, so there was somehow more expected from him, and he chose not to do that, so Yaakov holds it against him, but he didn't actually sin. That's what he's learned. Yes.
I know we're concentrating on the business with moving the beds right now.
Right.
But he only partially went to help Yosef out of his predicament. And I remember there being either a Gemara or a Midrash that says that had he, Reuven, actually saved him at that point, picked him up and brought him back to his father, that something, I forgot what the conclusion was, you probably remember, but anyway, I was actually thinking that the Gemara Midrash actually was supporting Zerah Kodesh. In other words, you're doing it on the bed, but I'm actually...
Yeah, so we're focusing on the bed because he's actually going to continue on that point. But you're right, you could probably read into the fact that Reuven does end up saving Yosef. And he did save his life, right? He saved his life, they were going to kill him. So he saves Yosef, but then hasn't put into the pit and doesn't complete the saving. So we talk about great things about Reuven, and yet there's some medrash that says that Reuven was somehow lacking. And the answer would be that Reuven did what he was supposed to do as Reuven. But in his role as Kayan, saving his younger brother would have been, right, something like that. Yeah, very good, very good. But the reason why we're focusing on the bed is because the Rav Shitzer is then going to say that actually Yaakov is going to be complimenting Reuven for all the help he provided him in his lifetime. U'mashal amar akasav kan, Yaakov says to him, ki alisa mishkevei avicha, which usually translates as, you ascended the bed of your father, yesh lefarish l'shavach. I think we can read this in a positive way. It's complicated, so bear with me here, but I'm sharing this because it's important to hear that there are tzaddikim who, even in these psukim, are reading Yaakov's compliment, Reuven, he did to me so many tovas, so many favors in my life. Kinei matzinu derech ha'olam, it is the way of the world. Now, I'm just going to read the words. If your bed doesn't have this structure. Maybe you need to get more pillows, or we'll see. Okay, but that's what he says. Matina d'arach olam shesimim b'mita, that you put on the bed, gimel karim tachas arosh, three pillows under the head. There's three pillows. Now, one of the things that's missing here is the pillows that go in the bed that don't get used. Apparently he doesn't have that. Okay, so there's three pillows on the bed that go under the head. Uksasus beis, and there's two blankets, elyon v'tachton, the upper and the lower. Umapa, and then there's a sheet. Harevav devarim kan, that's six elements on top of the bed. Umita kolam, and then the bed itself is the attribute of malchus. Right, that's the realm that holds the upper six levels of your bed. Ki Knesses Yisrael nikras mita, because Knesses Yisrael, the entire Jewish people, is the bed, is the resting place for the divine presence. And so the bed represents, right, it's like the kedusha of a bed. If you think about, for example, by Elisha, right, there was a mita, a shulchan, and a menorah. Right, there's a bed there. Right. So the concept of the bed is really six things on top, and then the one base that holds them. V'kolelas kol amidos. Therefore, the bed represents all of the seven midos: chesed, gevura, tiferes, netzach, hod, yisod, and malchus. V'hi b'chinas kabbalas o malchus shamayim. And so the bed represents an acceptance of O Malchus Shamayim, Shizeu Klalus Kalamidos, which is all the Midos. Meaning that the bed represents the final application of all of the divine attributes. So when a person sees the bed and upon it are these six elements, that represents a person's acceptance that they're going to follow the mitzvahs. Kilamashal, let's think of it this way. Adam Shu Chacham, if a person's smart, he has chachma. Imeinu mekabel o malchus shamayim. If he doesn't have the yoke of heaven upon him, if he doesn't have fear of heaven, chas v'shalom b'chachmaso ma yisro lo, then what does he gain by being smart? Just more sins? V'chein ishu ba'al chesed, if a person's generous, hu mida tovu, what a great attribute. Avo ma yisro b'midaso, but there's no benefit to him. Imeinu mekabel o malchus shamayim, if he doesn't accept the yoke of the sovereignty of heaven, chas v'shalom b'mida zu eina tov klal, it is not going to be good. This person is going to be an indulgent person. And a person is going to indulge way more than they do kindness. That's that people who, if you have kindness and you don't have it, if you don't have a focus on Kabbalah or Malchus Shemayim, Hechebe Midas Gevura. The point is that the attribute of Malchus, meaning the acceptance that I have to do it for the purpose of serving Hashem, that's what's represented by the bed. And that's what affects all of the midos, because if all of the midos are not for Kabbalas or Malchus Shamayim, if they're not for the sake of serving Hashem, then they're useless. V'humer omezes b'mita, so this is all alluded to in the bed, ha-kolelas vav dvarim kanal. So, again, I want to say this, to make this point again. I think people think, in shul, I'm in a holy place. And at home, I'm in a mundane place. Your home is a Beis HaMikdash. Your home is a Beis HaMikdash. And your bed corresponds to the divine attributes. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know. Maybe now every Jew should have a sheet and two blankets and three pillows. That's what it says here. Because the acceptance of the sovereignty of heaven is the inclusion of all the attributes. Which is why before you go onto your bed, you say Shema. That Shema is the Kabbalah O Malchus Shemayim, which represents the Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim of your whole life. And the bed represents all your applications in this world. And so when you say Shema Alamita, that's what you are doing. Ulechen, that's why Mishkav, which means the place where you lay, the bed, that's the word for it. Mita is the tool. But Mishkav, like we find by Tumas Mishkav Umoshav, there's a Tumah of things made for laying on and things made for sitting on. Tumas Mishkav. Mishkav means something made for sleeping on. Mishkav is Vashitev, is Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso. Because when you lay down, that's where you're going. Because of Sifrei Musar, Shah Rashitev is Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso La'olam Vad. If you take the whole statement, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso La'olam Vad, and you take those letters, you get a very interesting thing, the first letters of each word, Shehem Osios Mishkav, Memshin Chav Beis, Lamed Vav, La'olam Vad. Mishkav, Lo. So hear this, a very deep idea. Heim dvukim b'havaya. There's something very interesting about these six letters. Mem, Shin, Chaf, Beis, Lamed, and Vav. What's unique about them? They connect to Hashem's name. Shematzinu kasuv b'shem havaya. You find by Hashem's name. Kmo raninu tzadikim b'Hashem. V'chein, Shehashem, Ashrei ha'am, She Hashem Elokav. V'chein, Chaf, Ein Kadosh, Ka Hashem. V'chein, Me Hashem, La Hashem, Va Hashem. Those six letters, Baruch Shem, Kvod, Malchus, Adonai, Levad, the base, the Shin, the Chaf, the Mem, the Lamed, and the Vav, those six letters, all of them can be attached to the name of Hashem in front of it. Those are the six letters that attach. Which is pretty amazing that the first letters of the six words, Baruch Shem, Kvod Malchuso, are the six letters that can be attached to Hashem's name. Mashlotim Tzekem B'chol Shar Ozius, but no other letter, only the base, Shin, Chaf, Mem, Lamed, and Vav, can appear in front of Hashem's name. Lirmos, because that's trying to teach you this idea. Shemi Shemekabel Al Atzmo, O Malchus Shemayim, when a person accepts on himself the yoke of the sovereignty of heaven, when a person accepts on himself that Hashem is king, Davuk Bavayis Baruch Shema, you become attached to Hashem's name. So by reciting Baruch Shem, you become now attached to Hashem's name. And when we do that, we accept upon ourselves the O Malchus Shemayim. When we say Baruch Shem and we attach ourselves to Hashem that way, Malin midas knesses Yisrael lamala. We don't just elevate ourselves; we elevate the entire Jewish people, which is an elevation of the Shekhinah. V'zeh shenamar, Yaakov says to him, "Ki alisa mishkeve avicha, you ascended the bed of your father." He's saying, "No, ki alisa mishkeve is my." Yaakov says, "Mishkeve means my mishkav, my baruch shem kavod malchuso." Was a greater Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusa because you, Reuven, existed in the world. You elevated, through everything that you did in your life, you elevated my Baruch Shems. And what I would assume is because Reuven represents the Bali Tshuva from amongst the brothers there, specifically, you know, even though the first Torah, part of this Torah would say that Reuven had nothing to do tshuva for, but again, everything on their level, there was some element of something that he did. So he's doing tshuva for that. But even his grandson Hoshea would have this tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, is the same idea that the level of connection that Reuven and his grandson Hoshea teach us is that you can become so great that you can attach yourself to Hashem in the way that these six letters of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso attach themselves to Hashem. And the connection between Reuven and the bed is really the connection between Reuven trying to bring an elevation to the presence of Hashem in this world. And I want to connect this to the Medrash that tells us, you all know this, Chazal say this, Gemara Pesachim, that when Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to his children the end of days and was hidden from him, he said, there's got to be one of you, maybe one of you is like Yishmael or Esav. He was worried that perhaps he had failed in his attempt to create the Jewish people, the Mitasa Shlema, the perfect bed, again, the word Mita appearing there in the sense of what Yaakov brought into this world. And so when he says this to them, he says, are all of you with me here? And they say, no, Shema Yisrael, literally, Yisrael, like Yaakov. They're allowed to say the Father's name in the form of Nevuah. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And Yaakov answers, Baruch Shem Kod Malchus. So the Gemara says, we have a dilemma. Yaakov said it, Moshe didn't. What do? So we cover both sides, we say it in a whisper. Right? Obviously there's a deeper explanation than that, and the Gemara itself offers a deeper explanation, which we don't have time to go into. But what he's saying here is that this Baruch Shem that the brothers are generating, coming from Yaakov, was primarily coming from Reuven. And that's why Alisa Mishkeve Avicha, all of my Baruch Shems that I said my whole life, says Yaakov, that was you, Reuven, who elevated all of this. And so instead of reading these verses in this way, he's understanding that Yaakov is complimenting Reuven. Because struggles or not, he brought an elevation to Yaakov's Kabbalah's Olmachas Shamayim, and therefore to all of us, and that's what Yaakov is expressing his gratitude for.
Is Reuven aware that consciously that's his role, and Kabbalah is there for all of us, or?
If the Rav Shitzin knows it, Reuven knows it, right? That's it. These are they're connected to very high places. So that's what he's suggesting is that everyone else learns that Yaakov's sentiment would have been very negative, and he's saying that deep in there, Reuven could see that Yaakov is actually recognizing all that he contributed towards making this world a better place, and not just focusing on, like everyone else does. Everyone focuses on the one thing Reuven did. What about all the great things he did in his life? He lived over 100 years, and he did mitzvahs that, halavai, all of our lifetime of mitzvahs matched one of his mitzvahs. And so, to see all that, that's what the Holy Zerah Kodesh wants us to go back to.
I understand everything that is for good, but why he didn't have the principle blessing, even though it's not what leader is.
Right, because he's saying, because he didn't fix what kind. Yaakov had a role to do. Besides for himself, Yaakov was also fixing Adam HaRishon. I mean, it's all part of one big process. And he's saying, had Reuven taken on that role of I'm going to fix Kayin, then he would have ended up as the Kohen and the Melech. But because he only lives Reuven's life, so to speak, Yaakov feels like someone else had to cover that, so they would therefore get the Kohen and the Malchus. But not that Reuven sinned, that's his point. He just didn't do that additional element.
Yaakov is or is not aware of what Reuven is trying to accomplish with Mishkav, and the whole concept, his father is aware of it then or not aware of it? It seems that his father is not aware then.
Yaakov is the one who's saying this. Ki Elisa Mishkavei Avicha. These are words coming from Yaakov. Yaakov is thanking him for all that he did for him. That's the point.
That.
Yeah.
He sees that.
Yes.
Is his bracha to Shimon and Levi also?
I would have liked to have seen that. I want to see the Reuven, Shimon, and Levi read this way. And I think that's what he's trying to tell you. I'm going to give you a little window into just one line, but you should know that really in there, it's all there. And we have to our job. We have to learn Musa, so we have to hear. We can't be pachas kamayim and rush like water, and we can't just gang up and destroy a whole city without consulting. We have to learn that too. But these are the Shvatim. These are Shiftei Ka. These are people who. And so we have to recognize that they're up there in these upper worlds. They're not just like us. Yeah.
So the literal meaning of Mishkavei,
he's saying that Mishkavei alludes to Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso, but Mishkavei refers to the bed. But he's saying that this process actually somehow brings an elevation to everything. That's why I'm learning that Yaakov sees that whatever happened, as a result of that, Yaakov's now in a better place because of what Reuven did and then the tshuva that follows and everything that comes from it. That brings such a level of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim that Reuven contributed to Yaakov's elevated state. And so he's the collective. The entirety of the episode brought a cumulative elevation. Now, he's not specific enough for me to say it like this, so I'm trying to avoid not speaking for him. But that's what it sounds like he's saying. Okay, one more. After Berchas Yaakov, the Torah tells us, Kol Eile Shivtei Yisrael. These are all the tribes of Yisrael. Shnei Masar. They are 12. And then the Torah adds a word, Vizos Asher Diber Lahem Aviem. And this is what their father said to them. And then the pasuk continues, Vayivarach Osam, and he blessed them, Ish Asher Kivirchaso, each one according to their blessing. So you notice that those extra words in there? These are the 12 Shvatim, these are the sons of Yaakov, the tribes 12. This is what their father spoke to them, Vizos Asher Diber Lahem Aviem, Vayivarach Osam, and he blessed them. So says the Rav Shitzer. V'yesh l'daktik. I have a question. Le'ezu tzorech amar kan achar kol habrachos shehem shneim asar. Why does he have to finish all the brachos? We have to remind ourselves that there's 12 of them. V'chi lo yadina nat ha'ata b'lo ze shoy shneim asar. Don't we know? Have you not been paying attention? There's 12 sons of Yaakov. Gam yesh ledak, they can also the question that says, v'zos asher diber. This is what he spoke. Also, dibor, hu lashon kashas. Usually dibor means harsh. Umor al gevura, suggesting severity or judgment. And these are brachos. Brachos is usually chesed, kindness, and mercy. This is what their father said to them. Shemora amira raka umora chasadim, which is just speaking gently and kindness. Venira aderech shapirish mori bal noyem elamelech. So I heard from my Rebbe, Rebbe Lamelech of Lezensk, who was the primary student of the Maggid of Mezrich, who was primary student of the Baal Shem Tov. Masha amru chazal, regarding what our sages say, al pasuk, on the verse, chesed umishpat ashira, which literally translates as kindness and judgment, ashira, I will sing. And chazal say, it means David was saying like this, im chesed ashira, you give me kindness, I'm going to sing to you. Im mishpat ashira, if you give me judgment, I will sing to you. Right? He uses the same tzara v'yagon emtza, v'shem Hashem ekra, and then again, when he saved, v'shem Hashem ekra, and the dar l'Hashem ha'shalim. Right? So David Mamalach is working on singing to Hashem in good times or bad times. So the Mamalach of Luzhansk learns a different pshat. He learns that the word ashira doesn't mean to sing, but ashira comes from the word shayar, sha'ar, or nosher, as we'll see soon, which means things that fall off and land on the side. Sha'ashira lashon peiros hanosherim. It's an expression of fruits that fall off the tree. When you have a tree, the majority of the fruits, if it's a healthy tree, sit in the tree. But inevitably, there will be fruits on the ground around the tree. Those are called peiros hanosherim. And so what he's saying is, im chesed, if there's kindness, ashira, I can knock some fruits off that tree. Im mishpat, and if there's judgment, I can also, ashira, knock some fruits off that tree. Meaning, shatzadik, Paul, the tzadik can accomplish in this world. Shiyanosher miyamakorus al yonim, that he can sort of knock off the tree from these supernal sources. Chesed al Yisrael, kindness on the Jewish people. Umishpat v'din al sonehem, and judgment upon the enemies of the Jewish people. So the way that a tzaddik does it is because there are trees, kavyachol, again I'm using a metaphor, there are trees of kindness and trees of judgment, and they have the ability to shake the tree and knock down a few judgments and send them in a certain direction. Says, Heli Gezer HaKadosh, v'zeh akoyach nitan lanu b'yerusha mi'avinu Yaakov. This is a power that runs through our DNA. It is an inherited ability. It is an inherited trait that comes to us through Yaakov Avinu. Shehaya Yoshev Ohalim, because Yaakov, unlike Avraham, who was too much in the direction of Chesed, and Yitzchak was too much on the side of Gevura, Yaakov is Yoshev Ohalim, he dwelled in the tents, meaning Bahaya Mamutza. He was the intermediary, the between. He was the balance, la avos hakadoshim, to our holy forefathers. V'hayachal la'am shechasadim miyamin, so he could bring down kindness, Yaakov. Mibichinas chesed la'avraham, he could attach himself to the side of Avraham and bring down kindness shu miyamin from the right side. U'gvuros udinem, and he could bring down judgment and severity, misitra the smalof on the left side. That's pachad Yitzchak, that's the fear of Yitzchak. Neged sonov, to oppose his enemies. Kesha yitzarech alzeh, when he needed it, neged lavan, ve'esav, ve'anshe shchem. Anshe shchem, I assume he means here, referring to the wars that followed, as the Midrashim tell us. Anyway. But now, it's approaching the time that Yaakov has to leave the world. So just like you give over inheritance, so Yaakov is passing along this power, Labanov, to his children, Elazarim, Achareim, and to their descendants after them, Ad Olam, forever, hear this, that we should have power to dominate our enemies, Aide Shem Elokim, through the holy name Elokim Kayadua, that means that the power of a tzaddik to destroy a wicked person, as we find many times in the writings of Chazal, as we find in many a Hasidic story, that in many of these Hasidic shemaises, it involves a paritz and a krechma and a balagala, but in the end, the paritz has a misa mishuna. And all of that comes from the ability of tzaddikim to channel down judgment upon evil people. V'yiya mismolu miyamin al Yisrael shalom, which is a quote from the Zmiris of Shalashudas, which is interesting because that's from Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, but the Rabshitzer said that we're supposed to split Baruch Hashem Yom Yom between the morning and Shalashudas. That's why Shalashudas starts Bavo Me'edom. So this line ends up in the second half. Anyway, but it's actually the Rabshitzer who started this custom of dividing Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, but we don't have time to talk about Zmiris. Let's go back to our point. And so from the right and from the left, Al Yisrael Shalom, on us is peace, and Gevuras, the judgments, befall our enemies. V'zehu, and how does Yaakov give us this power? Ayidei habrachos sheberach osam, by blessing them. Okay, so once again, everyone reads negative. So he says, Shagam she'ikar kavanaso. We know when you bless someone, whenever you bless someone, certainly Yaakov. Ha'ilaham she'chasadim alem. You're always trying to channel down kindness. But if Yaakov would only have channeled down kindness upon his children, then the Jewish people would never have the ability to spiritually, physically, emotionally defend themselves and stand up against their enemies and destroy them. Mikamakim b'chol echad mi'abrachos, in every single one of the brachos, in all 12 brachos, merumas gevura, you'll find some allusion to severity or strength. It's a Reuven, yeser az, exceptional strength. Shimon Levi, arur apam, ki az, their anger is cursed, for it is mighty. But Yehuda, Yadcha ba'orif evecha, your hands should be at the nape of your enemy. V'chem b'chulam, with all of them, you'll see there's some kind of sense of gevura by all of them. So Yaakov is channeling down from his father Yitzchak the ability to channel gevura and judgment so that we can daven for the downfall of our enemies, so that a tzaddik can daven and bring about the downfall for evil people. K'dei she'yakoch b'yadam gamken, so that we in the future should also have the power lahatila gevuras al sanheim, to place judgment upon our enemies. V'zeh she'nema, that's why it says, the pasuk starts, kol eila, all of these are shiftei Yisrael, kol eila is the same gematria as the name Elokim. As if Elokim shiftei Yisrael, as if they are now the carriers of the ability to bring justice into the world. Sherom is lemidas hadin, alluding to the attribute of judgment. V'amar kol eile shiftei Yisrael shnei masar, so it has to repeat to you 12. Because otherwise I would say maybe only Reuven or Shimon or Levi. So it's the kol eile shiftei Yisrael shnei masar, this power of judgment is in the hands of all 12 of the tribes, shalachol hashneim asher shvatim, all 12 tribes, nasan hakoach mishem Elokim, he gave them the power of the name Elokim, lahatol gevura v'din asonehem, to bring them severity and judgment upon the enemies of the Jewish people. Mefarish hakasuf, so the Torah has to explain to you, ayidei man naslehem zeyakoach, where did they get this power? Where in these brachos is Yaakov giving them the ability to, in the future, bring downfall upon their enemies? Right? What we're saying is the whole, the Purim story, Haman's downfall, is being channeled through Yaakov. Without this, Esther and Mordechai could never have brought about a world where Ahasuerus wants to kill Haman. Go through the list, all of the stories in history, all the times when our enemies had a downfall, it's all through this. That's why it says, V'zos asher diber, that's why their father speaks so harshly to them. It's not to them. He's channeling down harshness so that they would later in the future be able to channel down that gevura upon their enemies. Now there's a little bit of a pshat here too, because when you experience Musar telling off, it humbles you in a sense and makes you holier and brings about your ability to channel that judgment towards your enemies, right? So it's connected to it. It's not just random. I'm telling you off so that now you can tell others off. I'm giving you this gevura so that you absorb it, and then you become a person who's affected by that gevura, and you can now channel that gevura upon the enemies. So that's why Bezosa Shadiba, that's why he's being so harsh to them. Not because he's trying to make them feel bad, trying to help them in the future. Vayivarcha, so he blessed them. Shebekol echad mi'abrachas, again, in all of the brachas, tim segam ken dibur kashas, you'll find some harsh words. Lirmos al-anal, to allude to this, v'amar, and that's why it says, ish asher kibrichaso, berach osam. Each one, he gave their own blessing. Lomar, meaning to say, sh'al yiksha, don't ask, al yiksha b'necha, don't ask, well, then how come there's different kinds of gevura for each one? That we know the answer to that. Yaakov, in his holy wisdom, every tribe is different. Every shevet is different. Based on the roots of their blessings, as we like to say, Hashem specifically wanted that whether it came from Klal Yisrael or it came from Hashem, Hashem wants us to be divided into 12 tribes. If Hashem wanted us to be one Shevet, He could have told us to do so. Hashem wants 12 Shvatim, because there are 12 Igvulei Alachson, there's 12 directions, there's 12 perspectives, there's 12 angles, and Hashem wants each of those angles covered on the four camps. Each camp has three tribes, and all of that's necessary, and each tribe is supposed to have a different personality, and a different blessing, and a different positive quality, and a different negative quality. But all of them have both Chesed and Gevura, all of them have the ability, besides for all their talents, all the great things they can accomplish, there's also an element of Asher Dibra Lehem Aviyem, a certain harshness that's there, and they can use that to channel down to bring protection for the Jewish people in the future, and that's why Yaakov is being so harsh. So once again, let's go over all of these points. It's an interesting perspective of all this, and the key to all of these things is that whatever it looks like to you is bad, it's really good. Right? Mm-hmm. Yaakov, he wanted to reveal the kates and was hidden from him. That's a favor to us. If it had been known, we may never have survived. And so we have to look at that as Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Hashem knows that we would be better off. And so we look at sometimes as these things as failures, but really no, that's the way it's supposed to be. But as it turns out, Yaakov still ends up blessing them and telling them what's going to happen. It's just now it's all in an illusion. Then we went to Reuven, and he said that Reuven didn't really do anything wrong. It's just Yaakov wanted him to go further and complete Cain's role, like Yaakov completed Adam's role. And Reuven didn't do that, so that was held against them, and then he found it alluded into the verse. But then he showed us how Elisa Mishkevei Avicha, while everyone reads it as such a terrible thing, he's saying that actually it's all about Baruch Shem, Kabbal Tzimal Malch Shemayim, the holiness of the bed of a person, and the spheres that are connected to the bed of a person, and the idea of Kabbal Tzimal Malch Shemayim Alamita, what a holy process that was, and Reuven somehow brought an elevation to all of that within the life of Yaakov. And then finding Kal Eile Shiftei Yisrael, where he tells us that all these negative terms that we appear, these are all for our protection. All that Gevura being channeled, Chesed from Avram's side and the Gevura from Yitzchak's side, is that in the future we should also be able to be vessels and channels for the Chesed, but also be able to, when we need to, bring down judgment upon our enemies. And so Zos Asher Dibra Lahem Aviyeh, Yaakov Avinu had this ability, and he passed that along through us. May we all be Zocha. We should connect even a little bit to the level of the tzaddikim that we learn about. We should be inspired by them, and we should be zocha to see the geula revealed in here. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi.
Recording stopped. Thank you.
Hello.
Yeah,
hold on one second.
Protection. Hello. Our avos. And how long do we have in their merit, for example? Protection. So it's almost like an extension, an official extension, or whatever. Next year we have from avos to.
He's not doing that. He's giving us the ability.
Uh-huh.
It's not protection. He's not davening for us to protect us. He's passing along in our DNA the ability to protect ourselves.
They extended that.
Right? The special ability. That's right. That's what you're saying. Wow. Yes, please.
Didn't we see when Yaakov chose Ephraim first, some kind of clairvoyancy in that also? And another thing, the brothers hated Yosef in their hearts. They were so angry whatever Reuven did at the pit was miraculous, that he was able to stop them from killing him.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think both of your points are true. Yaakov clearly shows that he knows the future is going to happen with Ephraim and Manasseh. And yeah, I think your point about Reuven, I think you're just emphasizing how difficult it must have been for Reuven to take that initiative when the brothers wanted to kill him. But yeah, that's we're on Reuven's side today. So yes, absolutely.
Didn't Reuven, wasn't he the spokesperson of the brothers to speak to Yosef?
You know, that's a little more complicated. That's a little more complicated. So Reuven did speak to the brothers, telling them off, but you know, who spoke? That's a little. Let's leave that. But yeah, what we're saying is that Reuven, we have to have a more positive viewpoint of him.